Hello, I'm Dr. Jesse L. Grice, founder and senior pastor of Trueline Baptist Church. It's my heart as we welcome you. I welcome you, and I praise God that you will get something from it and bless your life. And in Jesus' name, we love you.
Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing, all that you've done, and all that you're going to do, Father God. Keep us near the cross, Father God, as we go through life and as we go through this journey of faith, Father God. We thank you for all that has transpired, but now it's time for your spoken word to be spoken up to you and unto your people. Open up their ears, their hearts, and their souls and minds, and pour them out a blessing that only the anointing of your Holy Spirit can give them, Father God. So now, Father God, I pray that I'm a blessed vessel prepared to edify your word, which you've given unto me, Father God, through the anointing and the gift to preach through your Holy Spirit. Let them hear from you, Lord, and you only. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Got to stay near the cross. Amen. I will be coming from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. We want to thank God for our pastor. He's not supposed to be talking, but the Holy Ghost is watching over him so he can heal up. And we're letting him talk a little bit. Amen. Amen. We want to thank God that he's sounding real good. Amen. When he gets back in the fold, don't be surprised if you hear some baritone, Brother Charles. He'll be up there with you. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. And it reads, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Before you take your seats, give someone a holy fist bump. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. First of all, giving honor to God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can be seated. To our pastor, Reverend Dr. Jesse L. Grice, to the ministerial staff, our deacons, and our leadership of this church, to the church family and all my brothers and sisters in-house and those who are joining online. This is the final Sunday of 2021. God has saw fit, amen, for us to be here to get ready to transition into possibly a new year. We still have 5 more days, but we're going to claim it and transition into 2022. Amen. I want to share something here with you before I get into this message. The hope is the hope in Christ that makes it possible for us to live forever as God's children. But this hope has often been distorted and been disbelieved. I would like this text in which to preach, hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. You see, Christian hope is rooted in faith, in the divine salvation of Christ. Hope of Christian is brought into being through the presence and the promise of the Holy Spirit. You see, you got to be born again and receive the Holy Spirit in your life to be really saved. You can put on a show, but God looks at the heart. God knows who he's given the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it's very important that you be real with God. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about what the world say. You be real with God. And if you don't know God today, what I'm trying to tell you is you got your hope in the wrong place. Because you have to understand it all begins with hope. Hope fortifies our faith. It fortifies it. It brings it into light. As a society, we often define hope as wishful thinking, a feeling that something desired may happen. I really hope I get a promotion. I really hope the Cowboys, the Steelers, the Eagles, the Browns, and all them win the Super Bowl. Not knowing if it's going to happen. That's that hope. Why does Christ Jesus give us hope? Jesus not only came in to bring hope, but he is hope. That's what Jesus is. We have hope because Jesus forgives us and transforms us into his likeness. That's why we have to surrender. That's why we have to give. And once we give into God, he'll give us the spirit, which is the spirit of his son, so we can grow into his likeness. We're not going to ever be perfect. We're not going to ever get everything just right. But we do have the gift of repentance through his blood, where he'll clean us up and put us right back on the path. That's the good news about hope. You can mess up and he'll clean you up and he'll bless you and let you keep on moving. You see, that the world don't want you to know, those who are online and those who are here, the world don't want you to have hope that Paul is talking about in this text. He don't want you to have this hope that Christ is embedded, especially now in this world. This world is trying to get you to put your hope in everything else but Christ. They're trying to get you to put your hope in everything else but the word of God. Trying to put your hope in everything else but believing and trusting in this relationship that the Lord has given you through the church. Some folks don't even believe that they got to be in a church. But this is the Lord's bride. You got to marry into a covenant known as a church to obey what the word of God said. And now God has so allowed it that we can go online and have church because so many of you are sick. So many of you can't come back. And that's okay. God has opened the door for everybody. It ain't just the powerful ones got all the money. Now everybody, we can all stream on Facebook Live. We can all go to YouTube. God said, I'm going to let my real preachers preach. I'm going to let my real deacons. I'm going to let my real sisters witness. I'm going to let everybody know that my people are real. Ain't no faking and shaking going on up in here. See, the world puts on a show. But in here, you can cry. In here, you can tell God about it. In here, we love one another. We're supposed to encourage one another. We're supposed to unify. We're supposed to push out all the differences and come in here in spirit and in truth. But sometimes we do. We walk in here with craziness. We do. And that's why you got to pray harder. Say, Lord, you need to get this crazy off my mind so I can focus on the word of God and be where I need to be in you. So when I walk back out that door, I'll tell the devil he's a lie and the truth ain't in it. But this Christian hope we're talking about, you see, hope is scripturally defined as an immovable object, an anchor sure and steadfast. It is an absolute, without a doubt, guarantee and a promise from God. If you don't believe me, Hebrews 6 and 19 is verification of what I just said. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. According to scripture, when we believe and we trust, this hope we have as a Christian it solidifies our faith. So in other words, when we're going through some things, God is allowing us to feel it, go through it, but yet our faith keeps us grounded through our hope in what he's going to do at the end. You see, you might not get everything that you want right away. You might not get what you think you deserve. But if you just hang in there just a little bit longer and trust God, God will give it to you and you will get it through your hope in what he's going to do. Now in here you see where Paul opens up. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, earlier in the scriptures, Paul is talking about justification and he's talking about reconciliation. Justification is when you get saved, you're justified as a Christian and you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what's saving you. You're legally bonded by what God put in his covenant. Yes, sir. But the reconciliation is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Even though you are a sinner, you are now saved by grace. So you've been totally forgiven. I.e., let me break it down to you like this. Somebody tells you, I love you, right? And I forgive you. But as soon as something looks similar, they come back and they bring up what they supposed to have forgiven you for, right? So you can forgive someone, but you ain't going to forget. And if you really done forgave, you won't bring it back up. You'll pray about it and say, Lord, I'm going to leave that alone. But when you talk about reconciliation, that means you giving them a fresh start like nothing ever happened. And that's what God does for us. Now, in the human flesh, that's hard to do. It's easy to forgive someone, but it's real hard to reconcile. Meaning, let you start over like nothing ain't never, ever happened. especially whenever it's something that looks like you might do it again. That's true reconciliation. God is the only one that can really give true reconciliation. Meaning when we mess up and we repent, he's a God that says, hey, they repented, it's gone, forget it, boom, keep on moving. He's the only one that doesn't have to work on that. But we have to be obedient and put our hope in Jesus in order for that to happen. You see, I look at our youth, and I watch the youth, and I watch how they come up and in the Word, and they're in church, and sometimes they're wondering why they're here, sometimes why we got to be here, why can't we have our own service? You see, it's up to the adults to show you how to grow into adulthood as a Christian. So if you don't see good adult examples, you're going to be probably a bad adult and as a Christian, because you're going to pick up bad habits. Bad teachers create bad what? Students. Good teachers produce what? Good students. That's just how it works. Good tree bears what? Good fruit. Bad tree bears what? Bad fruit. So if you distorted in the fact that your parents are bringing you in and out the doors of church so you can learn of God, even though you might not get it all, but if you're paying attention and understand that when we enter these courts, we enter with what? Spirit and truth. We come to worship with thanksgiving and praise, right? Because here's the thing about it is sometimes we as a church, we put our hope in things instead of putting our hope in what God said. He said, suffer not the children to come unto me, meaning that when the children are here, they already got a hope going on. They just don't realize it. Think about it for a moment. God blesses your parents to buy you Christmas. God blesses your parents to put food on the table. God blesses your parents to have clothes on your back. God blesses your parents to have a job to be able to provide for you. God blesses your parents to be able to pray for you. God blesses your parents over and over again for you. And one day, that example, you're going to have hope in your children the right way, and then you'll pass that on to them. Your parents only have what God decided to let them have and what they decided to put in their mind to ask God to allow them to achieve. But oftentimes, the world will distort children and tell them, well, you need this and you need that. No, you need your mom and daddy to obey God and lead you to church. And then when you get here, you need some folks who are wise enough to teach you and tell you to go home and obey your parents and love your parents and do right by folks. But oftentimes, my children, they think that they're just here, but we need to take time to teach them and understand that your hope is in me, but my hope is in Christ. So therefore, I want you to inherit the hope I have in God so it passes down to you, and I want you to keep the generation going on and on and on and on. That's how it works. Don't need nothing specific. The Holy Ghost is here. Child can receive the Holy Spirit. Child can teach to a child. Some of these children, matter of fact, you mess around here and put them in the right spot, they'll tear the whole church up. But if we don't encourage them, if we don't connect them with the hope that's in this word, connect them with what they need, then guess what? We can't walk around here and say we lost them. We lost them. We're the teachers. We're the adults. Where is our hope connected to? That's why they fall into these issues. That's why they fall into these concerns. They lean on other things other than you as a parent, other than the church to come to us for prayer. This hope Paul is talking about. This hope he's talking about here. He says in verse 3, he says, not only that, that we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance. Brings him to my first point. But what does hope as an anchor of soul mean for our lives as children all the way up to adulthood? Point one, the love of God renews us. That's what he says there in verse 5. Paul says, now hope does not disappoint because, here's the reason, the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the first thing he does, he renews us. Renews means is to have a new element, route into your inner being. When that word route is in the Bible, what that means is it's being worked into you. It's being interwoven into you. So when you're going through some stuff, when you're persevering, God is working out some stuff that's in you and putting some good stuff, some virtues, some values, some hope, some things in you to fortify your faith. So that love through the Holy Spirit, it's renewing you as you go through this Christian walk, as you go through this faith walk. You're not going to go through this thing without any issues. So when he says that here in that verse, he says, knowing In that tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance means that you got to hang in there through your faith and through your hope, knowing that God is going to bring you through, knowing that God is going to bless you. Psalms 51 and 10 says, create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. You see, if you don't ask God to continue to work you in and work you out and what he want to put in, you'll mess around there and lean back on a bottle. You'll mess around there and lean on a CBD. You'll mess around there and lean on cocaine. You'll mess around and lean on somebody that'll lie to you, somebody that'll read your palm, somebody that'll continue to tell you astrology and all that other old mess. You got to be renewed daily. You have to die to yourself daily in this hope, because you got eternal life waiting on you. And the Satan doesn't want you to know you got to renew every day, because the Bible says that the thought of foolishness is a sin all by itself. So when you say, I don't sin no more, you a lie, and the devil is too. We have to be renewed in the spirit daily. We got some fleshly things we working out. See, we got some hidden sins that are wrapped up in us called envy, strife, division, all that other old stuff nobody can see, but we see it in your actions. Oh, I love everybody. Yeah, you sure do. And I see you tell somebody a lie. And the way I know it was a lie, because I heard you tell somebody else something else about the same thing. So somebody got lied to. But we have to be renewed through a new heart. Romans 12 and 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You see, when we allow God to renew us and restore us as we go through this Christian walk and this hope that Paul is talking about, and we renew ourselves, then what it does is it makes us strong, but at the same time, we're yielding to the Holy Spirit so God's love can penetrate and work in us and work the things out of us, so that way we can be stronger in our faith. Point two, the love of God re-energizes us. That's what Paul is talking about in verse 5. He says here, in verse 4, he says, in perseverance, character. See, when you're pushing through some stuff through perseverance, it creates character. You're going to push through some things, so you got to be re-energized and go through some stuff. See, when you're going through a sickness or when you're going through some hurt and some pain, you don't know what's going to happen. You just got to trust God and just believe, God, you're going to bring me out of this. You're going to heal my body. You're going to restore me. And every now and then, your faith has to be re-energized, because you don't know what's going to happen. Your hope is in God, but you need to be re-energized. You see, some of the strongholds that come up with being re-energized is anger, guilt, shame, depression, bitterness, discouragement, frustration, inferiorities, self-esteem, and more. These hold Christians hostage. Some of us done got a bad attitude because we're bitter and don't want to let go of a hurt or a pain or an issue. We got to work on that. Some of us are still dealing with because somebody did and what they did. We got to work on that. Some of us don't know how to love because we ain't figured out who we need to love. You need to love him first and then somebody else next. That's the order. Some of us are dealing with anger issues just because. It ain't got no reason. Why are you still mad at them for what they did to you in the first grade and you 45 years old? You want to be angry because you want to be. Some of us won't admit we're just the way we are because that's the way we choose to be. Yeah. Don't blame the devil. Look in the mirror. There he is. We have to be re-energized. That's why we got to pray. That's why we got to be in the Word. That's why we have to be renewed. And this Holy Spirit, what Paul is talking about here, is that in this hope, when you with God, and he pours out his love into, meaning that unconditional love of agape, he, the Holy Spirit, will re-energize us to get back up and stay on the course. And some of us, we just need to just work on our prayer life. We say we got a prayer life, but do you really have a prayer life with the Lord? Evaluate your prayer life every month. That's what you do. Evaluate it. Evaluate your exam. The Bible tells you when we take the Lord's Supper, examine yourself. Take the time out to examine your prayer life and ensure you ain't hurrying God through, but you're taking the time out to spend time talking to him. I'm talking about in a closet prayer. Now, he said pray without ceasing. But I'm talking about where you go into that closet and you say, look here, Lord, I can't stand such and such. I don't like this. I don't like that, Lord. Be real. Don't lie to him. I can't get along with this person. I really want to like that person, but they don't like me. Lord, I need you to help me with this. Lord, I need you to help me get that. Lord, I need you to bless my mama. I need you to bless my daddy. I need to be realized knowing that you're going to come through. We need to be real with God. We need to be re-energized. That's what God's love. That's what his Holy Spirit does. It re-energizes us when we stay connected. He keeps us. He keeps us grounded because we're all going to go through some stuff. We're all going through COVID-19. We go from one variant to another variant. And this and that. Let me tell y'all something. Let me tell you something. God is still God. He wants to see what you're going to put your hope in while COVID-19 is down here. My hope is in God. The vaccine come after God. The doctor come after God. The medicine come after God. The scientists come after God. Everything come after God for me. Because he's the one that's going to heal everything. I heard Reverend Relaford talk about, said bring up the scripture about Isaiah, if my people who will call upon my name. You notice the catch of that? Oh no, a lot of people don't catch that. He said, if my people. Everybody ain't God's people, y'all. So what does that mean? Is your land healed? Mine is. I can't do nothing about them other folks. I'm praying for them. But some of us have been impacted by COVID and other things. We have to pray our people through that. But God already looking out for us while y'all tripping. See, Satan don't want you to acknowledge the fact that you belong to him. He don't want you to acknowledge the fact that he's giving you the gift of eternal life. I got to die of something. I don't care what I die of, but I know I'm on my way to glory. What about you? Now, I'm not going to go out there and fake it and shake it and do something silly, like jump off a cliff and hope I land and God going to bless me to land on my feet. But I trust him in my daily walk and my daily talk that whatever happens, I'm going to glory because I belong to him. And that's what he's talking about. When we put our hope in the Lord, we can be energized knowing that we got the gift of eternal life in spite of what may happen. I don't know about y'all, but there was a typhoon this week. There was also, 40-some tornadoes that ripped through 6 states. The Bible says God rides in the whirlwind, y'all. God is doing judgment. He's going to do it on his authority. He's showing man, you can build the strongest building you can build, and I still will rip it apart if I want to. God is doing what he do. He wants us praying. He wants us understanding we need him. We need our hope in the Lord. You see, this hope we talking about, it don't disappoint. Go ahead and put your hope in the government. They'll come out today and bless you with a check, and then they'll come out the next day and say, give me that check back. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. See, when we're in the Lord, we work heartily for the Lord. And that's why I try to get these children to understand only what you do for the Lord counts. Yeah, we can have fun. We can go and do this and do that, but I want them serving. I want to give them opportunity to learn something. And the same thing with adults. Only, the Bible says specifically, only what you do for the Lord counts. So if you just come into church, that counts. You go into Bible study, that counts. But if you get in the ministry and get involved and go to work and do a little something every now and then, that counts. Because God don't really just give you the gift of salvation. He has some rewards laid up for you as well. And he wants you to have those rewards. Yeah, I want my crown, but I ain't worried about the bling bling on this side. I need some bling bling on the other side. I want God to honor me in my rewards because I found out a long time ago I should have been dead and gone. But he saw fit. He saw fit to appoint me. He saw fit to put me here. I was the baddest one. All my cousins, they'll tell you, that was a joker that loved to fight all the time. That was a joker that would go out there and ride a horse and buck him and I'd break every horse, a mule, whatever. We thought, no, he wasn't going to be the one. When God called me to preach, I said, no, Lord, I'm not the one. I'm going to church. I'm going to sing in the, I'm going to chain with the male chorus. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be obedient. But no, I ain't doing that. So God put a burden on me that caused me to question my relationship. And in that, I found hope like never before. Because God allowed the weight of the world, he allowed the weight of my problems to take me down so far to the point where I was looking in the mail for a check because there was nothing left in the bank. And then when I came to God, I ain't worried about that checking account ever since. You see, when God puts you in a place to do something, you do it. And when you're going through it, even though you're in ministry, you don't quit. You ask God for strength and you get re-energized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you stay with it until you die. That's what you do. And I'm finna close. My final point is the love of God revitalizes us. It revitalizes us. And that's what Paul is saying here. He says, in perseverance, character, in character, hope. You see, when God works us out and we go through some things and we put our hope in God, it brings out a new character in us. Yeah. See, when you done went through some stuff, you have a testimony. When you done went through some stuff, you can tell somebody, you can encourage them, you can uplift them, and you can tell them how the goodness of God has blessed you and brought you through this thing. See, this hope don't disappoint. That's why we got to stay in here, brothers and sisters. We got to hang in here. Yeah, I know it's uncomfortable with the man. Yes, I know it's uncomfortable going to the grocery stores and going to travel. But we got to claim it and maintain it and say, God going to bless me. I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm going to love my family. And I'm going to do thus said the Lord, irregardless of what's going on in the world. You see, Psalms 119 and 50 says this. This is my comfort in my affliction. For your word has given me life. See, that's why it's important that we tie you to the word of God. Because whenever you lean on Facebook too much, you don't go back to this book. Amen. This is where you find your true comfort in affliction. And if someone don't bring you a scripture, pray and ask God to send someone with a word. Amen. That'll help you. And through the Holy Spirit, it revitalizes us. And when you hear that word, it hits the spirit in you and it should uplift you. See, we're here to edify one another. We're here to build up one another. Those of us online, we're here to build one another up, not tear each other down. I used to tell the church all the time, you can dislike folks, but give them at least 2 hours in church. Well, you love them for just 2 hours, can you? 2 hours? You can't love somebody? You can't love your enemy a little bit more? Yeah, you might be still working on it, but can you just put down all of you and let God work on you? And love somebody that you really don't get along with. Just for 2 hours. You just focus on Jesus and you'll find out you can get along with them folks better. That's why folks come to church mad at folks and they say, oh, I love everybody. Yeah, whatever. God knows your heart. That's what we're talking about. He knows your heart. And I'm afraid for you because if you die, he gonna judge you. I ain't judging you. Then that's what the key is. When you put your hope in real, it's easy to tell the truth. But when you put your hope in a lie, you all over the place. And that's what we have to be very careful of, because that's what the world wants to do. So as Christians, we have to be revitalized by the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us and keep us connected and renew our spirit. Psalms 143 and 11 says, revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. See, when we trust God in our troubles, through our situations, through our character, and things like that, this perseverance as it builds is all fortifying our faith. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evident of things not seen. See, if you're just worried about what you see, you're going to miss God. But if you worry about who he is and what he can do and what he's done, it will make you rejoice. It will make you happy in your tribulations. You can say, thank you, Lord, when you should be down. You can say, thank you, Lord, when you're going through. You can say, bless them, Lord, because they hate me. You can say, bless them, Lord, because they don't like me. You can say, bless them, Lord, because I love you and I belong to you only. I close. James 1 and 12 out of the NIV says this. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. See, I don't know about you, but that scripture touches my heart. Because we're going to go through some tests, my brothers and sisters. But you got to keep on keeping on. This hope that Paul talks about here as I get ready to close here is get you to understand. You are saved through Jesus. You are justified through Jesus. You are reconciled through Jesus. So keep your hope in Christ. Keep your hope grounded in whatever belongs to the Word of God, and also your prayers and all your supplications, not just for yourself, but for your children, for your friends, for your enemies, and everybody. This hope will not disappoint. You have to lead yourself out of the hope of other things, because those other things are creating the chaos that Satan wants us to make you leave your faith. Because the apostasy has already happened. People are walking away from the church because they've lost hope in God. They're more concerned about who's sitting to the left and to the right instead of worried about who's above. They're more concerned about how they look and what they got in their pocket and what who's above. They've forgotten about who they need to be connected to instead of staying connected to Jesus Christ through the Word of God. This hope will not disappoint. That's why we got to stay the course. Because over 2,000 years ago, this same man named Jesus went to an old rugged cross. God had sent him into the world as a little bitty baby. He grew up like a child, and he stayed connected to a devoted man and woman of God. That man went through life. He understood tribulations. He felt the flesh. He understood temptation, but he did not sin. And after 30 years, he started his ministry. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they started trying to ridicule him. The ones that were supposed to be in the church, the ones that were supposed to know the law, was missing God, who was standing before all God and all man. I don't know about you, but I thank God that he knows what I'm going through. He didn't have to come down here and put on this flesh, but he put on this flesh so he knows what it feels like to suffer. He knows what it feels like to cry. He knows what it feels like to lose a loved one. He knows what it feels like to be sick. He knows what it feels like to go through some betrayal. He knows how to go through some things like a lie. But I'm so glad he did it for me. And I'm so glad he did it for you. Because after 33 years, he went that old rugged cross. He went to the cross with the hope of saving all of mankind. I don't know about you, but my hope is in Jesus. And it won't disappoint. Because he died. Oh, he died. Oh, he died on that cross. For me and you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When you put your hope in God, you're gonna make it, y'all. When you put your hope in Jesus, you're gonna make it. I don't care what you're going through. Give it all to the Lord and let him work it out. Won't he work it out? Can I get a witness in here? Ain't he working out? Have you ever been through something and God brought you through? I just gotta give God some praise. I don't know about you, but I feel the Lord move, and I got to say, Lord, thank you. This hope won't disappoint. This hope stay connected. This hope died for you. This hope lives in you right now. Stay with the Lord. Stay with his love. Stay with him. This hope won't disappoint.
Thank you so much for your attendance and your support of the podcast. We do hope to see you again or hear you again or even talk to me again. And we love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you.